goals that I've got in mind for this lesson. I mentioned them last week, but we want to look at those again tonight. And tonight, including last week and tonight, I want to lay the foundation of where I'm going to go. And I really believe this is going to take us several months to get through. But I am as excited about this as anything I have taught in my Christian life. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Luke chapter 24. The text in which we are looking at during this series is Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Those 23 verses of Scripture is our focus. And again, this will be a part of the foundation tonight. I believe this is last week and this week will be the foundation. Then we'll get into some of the meat of what I feel the Lord wants us to look at. I want to read verses 22, 23, and 24 tonight, and then we'll pray. If you're there, say amen. It says, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him, what? They saw not." Reach your hands this way. Let's agree in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your holy, precious word. Thank you for each person that's come out tonight. You see the need of those that are not with us. Father, we just acknowledge you in all of our ways tonight that you direct our path. Lord, in the way of this message tonight, open our heart, open our mind. Direct us, Father, through your word that we gain the understanding that would be pleasing to you. We know that you're for us and not against us. And Lord, you have provided us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, feed our spirit tonight. Open our mind tonight. Grow us in our walk and relationship with you. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. Direct our path. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated if you wish. I'm learning in my old age that these are very, very handy. Someone say amen. It's amazing how clear these look when I look through a pair of artificial eyes. All right. God is so good. I don't know about you, but I feasted last week. I feasted Sunday morning. I feasted Sunday night. And I'm excited about the Lord, what he's doing in our church, and I want to receive everything he has for me. Help me understand that there's a place at the table of God for all of us and good things for the child of God. I want to take a minute to recap quickly last week as I firm up the foundation of what we're going to be doing as we go forward. My goal is insurmountable because my goal is to produce in myself and this church the same thing Jesus produced in these two travelers. That is, their heart burnt within them. They were motivated. They were changed. And I believe if the Lord would help us, the Word of God can do that same work in us. If you believe that, say amen. But my goal is to try to duplicate what Jesus done by looking into the Scripture and finding out what he said and applying that and the understanding that Jesus is the fulfillment of all prophecy, applying that to our life. Let me give you a five-fold focus through this lesson, and I'm going to rehearse this again, the Lord willing, at the end of the lesson tonight. This is where I think we need to go. Number one, we need to focus on the authority of God's Word. Somebody say amen. We always need to do that. Every message I preach, I want to focus on the authority of God's Word. Number two, understand the eternal nature of the Word. And this can be seen through God's plan foretold in the Scripture. I believe God has an eternal plan. Amen. From the very beginning, before the beginning. Number three, we want to receive the message of Jesus and what he did. How many recognize you can't save yourself? You've got to have the Lord to save you. Can't do it. Can't do it. You've got to have Jesus. Number four, be changed in the presence of Jesus with our hearts burning. Hallelujah. Their hearts burned and they were changed. Number five, be so motivated that we spread the news. And if you can consider these two travelers, they arrived at their destination. They had a stranger that came along with them. They broke bread, as we're going to read tonight. After afterward, when they found out it was Jesus, although it was already dark and they had traveled 7 miles from Jerusalem westward to Emmaus, and then from Emmaus afterward, they came back to Jerusalem in the dark. Now, how many get so excited about something you got to run down the road in the dark to tell your neighbor? I pray that somehow during this lesson that the Lord stir us up so much and the Word of God burns so heavy and hot within us that when we get home, we got to call somebody, not to gossip, but just to tell them that God loves us and it's amazing what the Scripture said, and I love Jesus and I've got to tell somebody about it. And that's what happened to these people when they were motivated by the presence of our Lord. Amen. But these two travelers going on this road, and one stranger comes along, and the stranger is who? Somebody say Jesus. And Jesus is in a role. He's playing a role. We read last night how he appeared in another form, Mark chapter 16. The blinders were on, and by virtue of this situation, God used that, amen, to open their spirit. And they heard the word of God from this stranger, and it made a changing work in them. They arrived at their destination, and we know the story. Glory to God. What an evening that was for them. Amen. Now, we've read here verses 22. Notice here quickly. Let me sort of give you a heads up for the next few minutes. We're going to stay in the Gospels tonight. We're going to go to Mark chapter 6 in a minute. Then Matthew, then John. We will hit all four Gospels tonight and basically stay in them. Hallelujah. Now, we see here that there was a report of a resurrection. There was rumors. And Jesus asked them why they were sad. Now, how many in here, if you knew and believed in the resurrection, and you heard that the tomb was empty, how many would be sad? Not me. I would be happy. Yet these folks were sad. Their lack of understanding defeated them. Now, I want to encourage you, child of God, gain knowledge from God. The Bible tells us in Hosea chapter 4, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We need to have the knowledge of God. I recall the other day, Shelby was gone over to Somerset for a district band assembly. And I didn't quite get the message right. I went to the school to get her. She wasn't there. I thought, well, she's rode the bus. I went back to work and she didn't get off the bus. And all of a sudden, she's not there and she's not on the bus. And my teenage daughter is I don't know where. How many can understand what feeling came over me? Not having the knowledge, and she had told me that this morning, but it just hadn't registered, that she was going to be over Somerset, and they took her over there, and they practiced over there. But the point is without the right knowledge, we react different. If they would have had the knowledge that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would not stay in that grave, but He would be resurrected, their reaction to the news of this rumor would have been different. An empty tomb would not have been a point of sadness, but an empty tomb would have been a point of joy. The lack of knowledge will defeat you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the women they're referring to here, notice this. It mentions back in verse 10 of Luke 24, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and it says other women. So a group of women went there, found the tomb empty. They came back. They reported it empty. Others went and verified the fact that it is an empty tomb. I don't know about you, but in my spirit and in my heart, I visited Brother Russell and that tomb is empty. I want you to know Jesus is alive today. He's alive in me and I know there's an empty tomb. I've told the story. We visited the Holy Land Experience down in Orlando. We've been there a couple times. And they tell the story of how there are two places in Jerusalem that are purported to be the location of the tomb of Jesus where it was. And one, the individual that told the story says, you can get around one of them and just feel the power of God. He says, I believe that's the place. He said, but if I'm wrong, really doesn't matter because both places are empty. So any way you want to look at it, the tomb's empty. And I'm thanking God for a resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord in this place tonight. Now, we're still in Luke 24. A moment, we'll go to Mark 6. But verse 25, I want you to listen to this because we're laying a foundation tonight, and this is a very important couple of verses of Scripture as we go forward with this. Verse 25, "Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe," and here's the phrase, "all that the prophets have spoken." I've chose to name this series, All the Prophets, and I will tell you that this is something I feel the Lord has put on my heart. I have no curriculum. I'm going week to week in preparing this, and this is what I feel like as we go forward. I am phrasing this and naming this All the Prophets. Now, Jesus rebuked them and said, "O fools." It's interesting, the word fools here in the original language means not understood, unwise. And it's not that he was belittling or demeaning them. He was simply and mildly chiding them for their lack of understanding. Now, I want to ask you a question. Would the Lord have taken such a tone unless these individuals, Brother Richard, had the opportunity to know about the resurrection? They did have the opportunity to know about the resurrection, and they did not. And I want to tell you, Church of God, y'all love me tonight. I hope so. We're recording this, and this is going to be put on the Internet. So all of you out there in internet land, listen closely. Amen. The Bible says he loves those that he chastens and he rebukes those, you know, that are sons and daughters. Amen. But here's the thing. We need to know. And if we refuse to seek God and refuse to gain knowledge and the understanding that God wants us to do, the Lord can rebuke us. And here it uses the word fools. But either way, I'm glad that he takes me in my ignorance and he corrects me. Glory to God. All right, verse 26. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Ought means it is necessary. It's binding. And this is where John was behooved to baptize Jesus. And Jesus said, "I must needs go through Jerusalem." That same word, he ought to do this. It's necessary for him to do this. And what he's saying to these two individuals here, that it's absolutely necessary for Jesus to suffer. It's necessary for the Messiah to suffer in order to obtain the glory that God the Father had ordained for him to finish his work. Amen. Another version of the Bible reads verse 25 and 26 this way. "Then Jesus said to the two men, you are foolish and slow to realize what is true. You should believe everything the prophet said." The prophet said the Messiah must suffer these things before the time of his glory, for his time of glory. Amen. Now, verse 27, it says, "And beginning at Moses and" what? "All the prophets." Now, he rebuked them two verses prior in verse 25 for not fully absorbing and believing and understanding what all the prophets spoke. So what he does, he begins at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in what? All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, the word expounded here means to explain thoroughly. And check this, looking this up, it means to translate. How many here need an interpreter? I need an interpreter. And I'll tell you who the interpreter is today. It's not the preacher. Somebody say amen. The interpreter isn't even so much a natural language barrier in this world, Brother Russell, but the interpreter is the Holy Spirit in our lives that gives us understanding and wisdom of the Word of God that He wrote when He moved upon men of old for it to be recorded. I believe the Word of God is written by the finger of God through the use of men's hands, the pen of men, the mind and heart of God, the Spirit of God being the instrument. But we need Jesus today, by the presence of His Spirit, to expound and interpret the Word of God. And how many believe if we'll interpret Moses and all the prophets, we will see Jesus there? Consider this. If we will look at Moses and all the prophets, we will see Jesus. You know, Brother Tim, Jesus didn't look at these people and says, "Turn to Paul's writing in Galatians." You know why? That was years later. There was no Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John recorded at this time. We was right in the middle of that happening, and it's not going to wrote till after it's happened. So all they had was the Old Testament. And it's amazing that our Lord and Savior, talking to these two travelers using nothing but the Old Testament, preached a message about the Messiah to the point it was life-changing and fully motivating. These men were different. So really what I want to focus on as we're going forward is all the prophets. These Old Testament folks wrote about Jesus. And when Jesus talked about what they wrote, something happened inside. Someone say, praise the Lord. I want you to listen to a quote from a man by the name of Matthew Henry. He said, beginning at Moses, the first inspired writer of the Old Testament, Jesus expounded to them the things concerning himself. There are many passages throughout all the scripture concerning Christ, which is of great advantage to put together. We cannot go far in any part, but we meet with something that has reference to Christ, some prophecy, some promise, some prayer, some type or other. Listen to this. A golden thread of gospel grace runs through the whole web of the Old Testament. Christ is the best expositor of Scripture, and even after His resurrection, He led people to know the mystery concerning Himself, not by advancing new notions, but by showing how Scripture was fulfilled and turning them to the earnest study of it. And I really believe that if God would have His way, we will be motivated by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Brother Micah, as we read this Old Testament passages and we go through this study, we're going to see and be verified in our mind that this is the Word of God, that God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. Someone say amen. We're still in chapter 24. Notice verses 28 and 29. And as we're laying the foundation, I want to give you the setting and the situation and how the events of that day transpired. They drew nigh to the village where they were going, whither they went. And Jesus made as though He would have gone further. In other words, Jesus is on this road. He's passing by and He's headed in His own personal direction. Verse 29. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us. How many is that your prayer tonight? Jesus, don't pass me by. Come on in my house for a little while tonight. Lord, visit us in this church house tonight. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He, Jesus, went in to tarry with them. I want you to find Mark chapter 6. How many understand that Jesus absolutely is a perfect gentleman? Jesus will not impose Himself upon you. Jesus will never go where He's not invited. And I'll tell you, friends, He'll only stay as long as He's welcome. And I want to thank that our church, Lord Jesus, You are welcome here. Amen. Now, I want to interject a story here in Mark chapter number 6 about the disciples on the sea and Jesus walking on the water. Notice verse 45, and straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship, to go over to the other side before unto the Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. Now, another gospel tells the promise. He said, I will meet you on the other side. How many understand that if Jesus said, I will meet you on the other side, there is a future rendezvous? Guaranteed. If Jesus told Paul, you're going to testify in Rome, I don't care what, that ship never would have sunk. It could have had 52-foot holes in the bottom of that boat, and the water never would have caused that ship to sink. Why? Because God had a rendezvous for Paul in Rome. And Jesus said, I will meet you on the other side. So come what may, there was going to be a meeting on the other side. So what happened? Let's verse 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night. How many understand? That's 3 o'clock in the morning. He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and read this with me, and would have passed them by. You know why? Because He was going to the other side. That's where He said they would be. That's where He said they would meet. You know, and I believe the Lord, giving such a charge, expects us to walk in faith. How many believe the Lord wants us to walk in faith? I believe the church has power today, and we need to exercise that power. Hallelujah. Now, verse 49, but when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been the Spirit. What did they do? They cried out, and we know the story. What? As He was walking on the water, Peter came on the water. But here's the thing, friends. We've got to invite Jesus in. We've got to invite Jesus in. I believe the Lord wants us to take the initiative and seek Him and long for Him and hunger for Him. Amen. Let's go back to Luke 24. Same case here. Jesus was going on His way. Seemed to be. Our Lord, having all understanding, though, knew what the events of this day would bring about. Hallelujah. But still, He wanted them to actively invite Him in. Now, verse 30. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it. Three things happened here. He took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave to them. I want you to notice those three things. What do He bless it? He broke it and He distributed it. And their eyes were opened. And they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. There's something about the broken bread. I believe the broken bread is what the Lord gives us in a consumable fashion. And what I'm saying about that, me and you in and of ourselves would gag on the loaf. Hear me now. I need somebody to give me bite-sized pieces that my understanding can grasp. You know, and this is the way the Lord is. The Lord is that father, that parent that'll feed that baby the right-sized pieces. Now, how many understand that when a baby's 2 weeks old, you're not going to take the knife and slice a piece of steak and cram it in his throat? The baby can't handle that. And the Lord knows how we can consume the bread. And I think often how when Jesus fed the 4,000, fed the 5,000 beside women and children, that He did what? He had them sit down. He broke the bread, gave to the disciples. The disciples gave to the multitude. And the miracle of this was is that there was more left over than they began with after 5,000 beside women and children were fed. And I believe today that the Lord wants to give to His people the bread from heaven so that we in turn could distribute it to a starving world. But I've got to have somebody to break it. I can't break it myself. His body was that bread. And He broke it and gave it to us to distribute to the whole world. Can somebody say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to be shouting tonight. I want you to go to Matthew 26. The Last Supper, as we term it. The Passover, the New Testament Passover. Israel was delivered out of bondage because of the Old Testament Passover and what God done to Egypt. And it was the blood of the Lamb that protected them. The New Testament Passover, Jesus is the Lamb, and through His blood we are protected and kept. But they partook of that Passover in commemoration of the deliverance from bondage. And today, how many understand that when we take the Lord's Supper, we're doing that in memory of what He done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 26, Matthew 26 and 26. And as they were eating, now as I read this, I want you to consider the three things that Jesus did when He arrived there in Emmaus and these two travelers beckoned Him to come in. And as they ate, three things. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." How many understand that Jesus' life was blessed? It was blessed without sin. That He allowed His body to be broken on the cross, and that He gives us the benefit of that bread in grace. How many are thankful for that tonight? And I feast on the bread of heaven. I feast on He that was sent down as I'm walking through the desert in the wilderness of this world on my way to a promised land. He gives me bread from heaven. That's His very presence and His word. Jesus in our life. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the living bread." John chapter 6, you don't have to turn. "Which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is My flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Let's turn back to Luke 24. Their eyes were open in verse 31. Speaking of breaking the bread, how many know that the Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed"? How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need the help of the Lord to rightly divide the word of truth. How many understand you can wrongly divide the word? You know, there are dozens of dozens of thousands of organizations that preach out of the same King James Version of the Bible that I love to preach out of that don't understand Jesus the way I understand Him. And I'm going to tell you, friends, my focus solely, exclusively, is in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for me. Solely, unequivocally. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that tonight. He opened their eyes. That word in the original language, can't pronounce these words anyways, and if I even tried that, you wouldn't know if I was right or wrong. Somebody say amen. Don't matter. It means to open thoroughly. Have you ever read in the Bible where it talked about the firstborn opening the womb, opening the matrix? How many have ever read that? And the thought was is that the firstborn was going to be the one that opened the floodgates and the family would be blessed with children. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is saying, I'm going to open your eyes. Through the breaking of the bread, their eyes was open. And friends, tonight, through the breaking of the bread of the Word of God, may your eyes be open and the floodgates open in your life so that the blessings of God flow and overtake you. You're not going to get it from a preacher. Don't get me wrong, friends. I tell you what, I love the Lord. I'll lay hands on you. I'll baptize you in olive oil if that's what it takes. But I'll tell you what it takes. It takes you yourself. I can't give it to you. I can't cram it down your throat. You know, I don't know how many phone calls I've made the last couple of days, you know, and I call folks. Amen. But it's going to take us ourselves hungering after it, longing for it individually. All right. Someone say praise the Lord. Revelation upon our eyes, our understanding, open through the breaking of the bread. Now, verse 32. And we're going to finish up here in Luke here. And I'll only be a couple more minutes. Won't be that long. I won't be as long as I was last week. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I figured y'all would shout when I said that. All right. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scripture? What we have here, are y'all ready for this, is the ultimate deja vu. Consider this. They're walking along, gagging on a loaf. And a stranger comes along and breaks the loaf of the Word of God and feeds them. Right? Spiritually speaking. And they feast on the Word of God as this stranger is given that bread. He took that bread. He blessed that bread. He broke that bread and He distributed that bread on the road. Then He arrived at the house. And in the natural, He'd done it again. The ultimate deja vu. And I think these two individuals, in hindsight, seen that. How many understand hindsight's 20/20? How many looking now back in something in your life would love to go back and change something because you're seeing a whole lot clearer today than you did then? Every last one of you did. Amen. I want to read this in another version of the Bible, and I want you to listen to this. Verse 32. They said to each other, wasn't it like a fire burning in us when He talked to us on the road and explained the Scriptures to us? I believe the earnest child of God, hungry for the things of God, when the Word of God is broken, preached, taught, read, meditated on, sung about, I believe there's something inside of us that connects, and it's just like throwing gas on a fire. I believe that. Hungry for God, wanting more of Jesus. Last three verses. We've got to this, and again, I told you I was going to go back and rehearse my five objectives. This is going to tell us what they got to. What resulted, and they were moved to action. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour. Somebody say same hour. What, y'all catch that? Same hour. Now, notice here it's toward evening, verse 29. The day's far spent. The night's over. Come in and, you know, get about to eat. And now what's happening? They rose up the same hour. It's dark. And returned to Jerusalem 7 miles eastward and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them saying, the Lord is risen indeed. How many in here can have an experience with the Word of God and know that the Lord is risen? How many can see Jesus in the Word of God? Can you? Are y'all with me tonight? I want you to know I've never been blessed to have the privilege of seeing a vision of Jesus. And you know, I find that striking because I've been a Christian almost 33 years. I've never had a vision of my Lord. I've never had a dream about Jesus. Now, I've had a vision. I've had dreams in which angels have spoke to me, and I believe it was from God. But I believe the Lord has allowed that to be withheld for me. Because, friends, one day when I see Him, I'll know it's Him. I'll recognize Him. Now, again, you know, and I think, well, why not in my imagination? Could I not have concocted that? I believe God's held it from me. I really, really have. But, friends, one day I will see Him. And I will know, Brother Micah, that it was worth everything I've ever done for Him. Now, let's keep reading. I'm just about done here. Things were through the presence of Jesus with our hearts burning. And number five, we want to be so motivated that we spread the news. If you are with me tonight, say praise the Lord. In the name of God, could